ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kinda heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
Democrats abandon plans to create a paid family leave policy. Plus, Tesla rallies and Elon Musk gets even richer. And what socially conscious investors should look for at next week's UN climate summit.
The policy that is put in place in order to drive the decarbonisation globally will have real implications for the cost of capital, for the cost of operating, and for revenue growth.
It's Thursday, October 28th. I'm Peter Granitz with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Democrats have dropped a paid family leave plan from President Biden's social and climate policy bill, according to people familiar with the talks. The White House continues to whittle the bill down with Senate Democrats. It's been cut to $1.75 trillion. President Biden is expected to visit Capitol Hill today. The White House is trying to rally the necessary Democratic support for the bill before the president meets with world leaders at the G20 summit this weekend. A new study shows that a widely available antidepressant may keep people infected with COVID-19 out of the hospital. The large-scale clinical trial found COVID patients with at least one high-risk factor who received fluvoxamine were a third less likely to go to the hospital. Scientists don't know exactly how it works against COVID-19, but the study's co-author says the drug may help blunt out-of-control inflammation. The antidepressant costs as little as $4 for a course of treatment. The Financial Action Task Force has called on governments to strengthen their regulation of cryptocurrencies to combat money laundering. The panel's recommendations do not have the rule of law, but they can influence members to change their local regulations. The U.S., China, and much of Europe are members of the task force. The new guidelines suggest regulators tighten decentralized finance, which allows anonymous people to swap assets such as cryptocurrencies with one another. And Elon Musk's net worth is approaching $300 billion, putting him far ahead of the rest of the world's richest people. Musk's rise is largely being fueled by Tesla's stock rally, and now traders are betting that'll continue. Roughly one out of every $2 traders spent in the U.S.-listed options market on Monday and Tuesday went to Tesla options. That's according to CBOE Global Markets data. There are more than 5,000 stocks and exchange-traded funds to trade. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is expected to next week outline how the Fed will begin to wind down its stimulus program. The Fed has been buying about $120 billion worth of bonds every month, and Powell would like those purchases to be finished by June. But will he even have a job by then? President Biden has not yet said who he'll tap to lead the Fed, so could that uncertainty affect what the central bank does? We are joined by Markets Editor Quinton Webb. Hi, Quinton.
Hi there.
Remind us what the effect of this bond buying program is.
Well, it's one of the ways in which the Fed has stimulated the economy, particularly in the early days of the pandemic. So, when you go into the market and you buy a lot of bonds, that tends to kind of push bond prices up, bond yields down. Thus, it kind of reduces borrowing costs and it generally kind of adds to animal spirits in the markets.
And why does Powell want to wrap it up by June?
Well, because we are sort of moving towards an era of policy normalization. What the Fed doesn't want to do is kind of create too much of a bubble in asset prices, nor do they want to fuel inflation too much. And they also want to be ready to raise interest rates, and they would prefer to conclude their tapering or buying less and less of new bonds before they progress to raising interest rates.
When we hear from Powell next week, he will certainly be asked about the high prices we've seen and how long they might last. Would a change in leadership change how the Fed tackles inflation?
Well, it's not clear. The most likely candidate to replace Chairman Powell, if he isn't nominated for a second term, would be Governor Lael Brainard. And of course, the Federal Reserve sets policy through what's called the Federal Open Market Committee, which is 12 voting members. And so I think the default assumption is that the overall position of the Fed would not change that much. Nonetheless, this is unwelcome uncertainty at a kind of pivotal moment for the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, that uncertainty. Are Fed watchers comfortable with it right now?
I should say they're not very comfortable, no. Usually they would expect whoever is to be nominated to have been nominated by about this point, because there needs to be time for the Senate to confirm the president's nomination before the end of the four-year term. It is rather extraordinary that we're at this point of kind of great uncertainty about central bank policy making in the United States, and we're not clear who will be running the central bank in just a few months' time.
Right, because the term's up in February. Quentin Webb is a market editor for us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And one thing that'll be front and center for Fed policymakers today is the U.S. GDP reading and weekly jobless claims, which could help guide their decision on a change to stimulus. Coming up, investors worried about climate change prepare for next week's big UN summit in Scotland. What green investors should pay attention to at COP26.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. Oracle.com/wallstreet.
World leaders will head to Glasgow this weekend for a United Nations meeting on climate change. The aim of COP26 is for nations to reach an agreement on new emission reduction targets, and socially conscious investors will be paying attention, particularly those interested in so-called ESG goals. Those are the environmental, social, and governance structures that guide companies' decision-making. To learn more about what investors are keeping an eye on at COP26, we are joined by Morgan Stanley's Jessica Alsford. She directs the company's global sustainability research team. Welcome.
Hi, Peter.
Hello. I want to start with a broad question here. For a lot of people who don't know, why does a bank like Morgan Stanley care about a global climate summit?
So climate is now a topic, a theme that is impacting capital markets globally. And so whether you're a sustainability specialist like myself, or whether you're a generalist or a sector analyst covering the energy sector, for example, climate is really a topic that everyone needs to understand and be able to think about the impact that it's having on companies globally.
As an investment firm, what specifically are you looking to come out of this climate gathering?
I think there's three key things that we're looking for. First of all, we would like to see more nations announcing more ambitious 2030 and 2050 decarbonisation targets. And this is important because if countries are stepping up in terms of accelerating the switch to EVs or encouraging investment in renewables, then this will have implications for stocks in those sectors and related sectors too. The second area is with regards to carbon markets. The EU has been very clear that it wants to see a more global approach to carbon pricing. And so we'd expect to see more detail coming about how other countries are thinking about taxing carbon. And then finally, we think we also need to see an element of the wealthier nations stepping up on their financial aid. Whilst this might not directly have an impact on global capital markets, it is important because I think seeing that financial aid being committed to could then facilitate some of the other announcements that we would like to see come through, as it will demonstrate that the more developed and wealthier nations are helping to plug the gap for the developing countries in terms of how much decarbonisation is really going to cost.
How could we see policy decisions affect ESG investments as well as the broader energy sector coming out of this?
So the overall goal is about reducing carbon emissions. And so this has real implications whether you are a high carbon intensive industry like oil and gas, like steel, like cement, or whether you're a solution provider like renewable energy or EVs. And so the policy that is put in place in order to drive the decarbonisation globally will have real implications for the cost of capital, for the cost of operating, and for revenue growth as well.
One criticism we have heard from the environmental community is that there's a lot of greenwashing going on in ESG, these environmental investments, meaning companies that burn a lot of fossil fuels can still be included in a portfolio that's labeled as sustainable or environmental. There's been a call for more regulation, including from the head of the SEC, we should say. What do you think about that?
I think there's a broad acceptance that sustainable investing is a spectrum of approaches. There is no one singular definition. And that's absolutely fine, because I think there are different motivations for why you are conducting sustainable investing, whether it's a values-based approach or a value creation approach. If we focus on the climate area, then certainly some funds are very much focused on allocating capital towards the solution providers. So green hydrogen, renewables, electric vehicles, and their relative supply chains as well. However, I think there's also a real need to understand that we are on a transition. And so for us to get to net zero emissions by 2050, we need to see business models changing and becoming less carbon intensive. And so one approach to this would be indeed to have a fund which is investing in so-called improvers, companies that may not be low carbon at the moment, but that have a very clear strategy for how they are going to decarbonize in the years ahead. Now, with regards to regulation, you're already seeing it emerge. In the EU, for example, you have the EU Green Taxonomy, which is really outlining specific criteria for what you can call a green activity. And so funds that are calling themselves green going forward will need to report on the percentage of their holdings that are in alignment with this taxonomy.
How can investment firms ensure that they are being clear and transparent about the portfolio? I'm thinking about some companies that label themselves as being environmentally sound, say a big tech company that still uses a lot of fossil fuels in its business, but buys offsets to mitigate some of that. How can they ensure that the ESG investors are putting their money into the green assets they want?
ESG is an additional type of analysis that investors are conducting. And so in the same way that ESG investors might be asking about the growth and returns, there's also the element of engaging with companies to really understand what they're doing on these different topics, whether it be carbon, other types of resource efficiency, or even on the social and the governance side as well. And there really is a need to be asking the right questions and then recording the due diligence that has taken place so that you can have a good understanding about what a company is doing in addition to what it's reporting.
Jessica Alsford, she's Morgan Stanley's Managing Director of Sustainable Research. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, the James Webb Space Telescope will launch in December. It is powerful, more than 100 times more powerful than Hubble. It'll orbit the sun more than a million miles away from Earth. And as tech columnist Chris Mims tells us, you already have your hands on some of its technology.
There are a number of companies that NASA hired to make these gigantic perfect mirrors. And when I say perfect, I mean to within like an atom. So the technology required to make the mirrors for this giant space telescope got directly repurposed to make these giant lenses, which direct the beam of a laser to prepare a silicon layer that is then transformed into the display in our smartphones, in our tablets.
And that's what's news for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.